Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody to Blog Talk Radio and Paranexus Universe. It is Thursday, August 6, 2009. This is Doug Kelly, your host for Paranexus Universe, and I'm joined by tonight's co-host, Mike Jones. Mike Jones, actually, he's hosting the program. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's everything going?
Grant is on assignment. Does that sound good?
Oh, my gosh. Where's he at? On a boat? Did you say he's out on a boat earlier?
No, I said he's on assignment. We don't want to tell him he's actually on a overnight sailing trip. So don't say anything about that.
Oh, okay.
So he's Grant on this night.
Oh, okay, cool.
But tonight's show with Mike as host, take it away, Mike. Alien phenomena, abduction phenomena.
Yeah, hello, everybody. I hope everybody's had a great week. I have been doing a little research on some stuff I kind of wanted to bring up tonight for everybody that might be interested. I don't know how many people have actually read into the exopolitics and what's going on with that. It seems that that seems to be taking hold. That seems to be the new coined term for the Disclosure Project and a few other things out there that are trying to get people to, educate everybody pretty much to what's going on as far as, you know, UFO field, abduction field, the government hiding secrets from everybody. Evidently, a lot of these countries are really taking it to heart and kind of backing these movements. Oddly enough, the United States, of course, is keeping their mouth shut as usual. Other than that, I do find some interesting points, though. One thing I've noticed is in the field of ufology and abductions, you know, we've dealt with the same old information year in, year out, same stuff over and over and over. The one thing that they have done with exopolitics, I think, is making it more publicly acceptable or presenting it in a political manner so people they would acclimate easier to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it sounded more official, I guess, is what's really happening here. But what it really represents is a change in the overall public viewpoint, you know, and accepting the fact that we're not alone. The Vatican has come out in past years talking about that the idea of other alien cultures was okay. We've had multiple scientists talking about these other worlds that have water on them, around
like
these
waters.
Other stars. Well, and around other stars, for that matter, you know, within a local neighborhood. Yeah, and Mars being one. Actually, the Clementine Project proved that there's water on the moon, which I find that kind of fascinating. Other thing we're looking at here is, you know, exopolitical movement in itself is representing an evolution in human thinking and comprehension. You know, the biggest drawback we've had in this field, in my opinion, is how the majority of the public has viewed this as something to be made fun of, you know, because it can't be. You know, this is not in my paradigm. You know, I was brought up this way. There's no way that this could be possible. And, of course, you know, the government turning around and backing that mentality just supported it for numerous years, even though you had legitimate people coming forward you know, like Betty and Barney Hill case, that was a pretty amazing case in itself and had a lot of good crucial evidence, you know, like for instance the star map. You know, that alone was so overwhelming in its in the evidence itself, you know, that should have woke, you know, should have awakened a lot of other people and brought them into the UFO arena. But instead, what it did is it, I think it produced a divide all of a sudden. You know, you have the academics and the scientists out there that want to keep their job because the government don't want to back that kind of information. You know, we're coming out of a Cold War scare. All of a sudden, you've got this mixed couple coming out saying they've been abducted. And, you know, just to say things like that, it's just, it's outrageous. And, you know, you get the other side of the field, you know, like people like Stanton Friedman, all these other gentlemen out there that actually have, in my opinion, real scientific brains, that have really represented themselves very well in this field. They've actually showed real information. And you cannot debunk these guys, whatever you do. There's no way you can. I mean, they are on the up and up with every bit of evidence they present, and you know that's what it's about. And, you know, the Disclosure Project with Dr. Greer and all his associates are really pushing the field forward, I think, in a lot of ways. I just got through watching a symposium out of Spain not too long ago, and I was kind of excited hearing him talk about the fact that there's a lot of this free energy devices that seem to keep cropping up everywhere and then all of a sudden disappearing. But if he had it, you know, if he had any way possible, if he gets a hold of it, it's going to go public. He's not going to let a main, you know, major corporation take it and put it on a shelf somewhere.
Right. And before we get too deep in this, we also should mention that if anybody has any questions, they can put them in the chat room, or if you want to call in and talk with Mike directly, you're more than welcome. There is one caller online, and if you can read your chat message, Mike, I can't get into the chat. So,
okay, go ahead and answer the call real quick.
I will. If you need to log out of the Paranexus account, if you would, because I can't get into the chat room.
Okay, just a second.
And we'll take your call in just a moment. But if you'd like to call in, the number's there on your screen, 347-945-7799. You can also use the click to talk button on your screen if you have a computer headset. And
okay, I'm
locked
out.
Take your calls. Thanks. So let's go ahead and take our first caller. Go ahead.
Yes, my name is John. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Hello.
My name is John. I'm from Maine, and I'm the owner of paranormal51.com. I don't know if anyone's heard of that website at all.
Yes, sir, I have.
Do you like it at all, or?
Yes, I think you're really doing some good work. You need to keep it up.
Well, we're making our services free because our subscriptions weren't selling, and we're going to put an online store on there. But I wanted to share an experience and ask a question. I was sleeping on the couch, and I had I forgot the type of dream that they call these type of dreams. I think it's hypnagogic dreams, where as you enter and exit out of sleep, you experience these types of dreams that can be just like waking reality. But I had a hypnagogic dream that I was being spiritually abducted by a UFO with a real lifting ray, you know, so to speak. And I wanted to know if you feel that most of the abductions that people experience and report are more or less spiritual abductions as opposed to being physically removed from your home and taken aboard a craft.
Right. Well, I'll put it this way, in my opinion. And in my opinion, I think you do have a certain percentage that are physical. You know, you have trace evidence. You have the scoop marks, bruising. You know, there's a lot of physiological things happening. But then I think there are a certain percentage that are, I would say, psychically abducted. I don't know about spiritually
yeah.
so much. You know, I guess everybody has a different terminology for it. But yeah,
yeah.
I do think that there's on some level there are people out there that are being psychically abducted. That's
yes.
You know, that
I mean,
that would make sense.
One, yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Understood. I had one other experience when I was driving from San Diego all the way to Maine, and I was hearing these are some of the experiences that I want to share because they're the experiences that induced me to create the Paranormal51.com project. But I don't want to solicit. I don't want to be known as a solicitor, but I do it all the time. I was driving from San Diego to Maine, because I had just left the Navy and I needed to bring my car with me. And I was in Arizona. I can't remember specifically or pinpoint precisely where I was. I might have been in Eastern California or Arizona, but heard these voices, these high-pitched voices telling me to drink water, good boy, when I did it. And when I first heard these voices, I stopped by the local convenience store and got myself an Aquafina, and I was drinking water, and I got myself like two more Aquafinas because the voice didn't go away. And then at last, I mean, I went through like three or four Aquafinas before I stopped by the local grocery store and got a 3-gallon container of water, and I got a thing of cups. I mean, my mind was reeling because at the present time I am a schizophrenic disabled veteran, but I am perfectly
right.
credible. I'm not lying. I have no in. I was I flew helicopters for the Navy, and I've time in the TH-57 Bravo and Charlie. The NH-53 Echo, I had an exposure flight on that, and I also flew the T-34C Mentor. I mean, I'm perfectly credible, and I have no reason to lie about these things, and nor is it a personal a policy of mine to fib or do anything that, you know, is untrue and unverified and all these things in my life. So,
right.
Right. I did want to ask. Yeah, I already asked the question. So, that's one another
well,
one of my.
Well, I have a question for you. By
yes.
chance, was it a medical doctor or was it the military doctor that had classified you as that?
It was a combination. I was in the hospital 3 times. Four times. And that was before I was San Diego, and when I left the military, I was hearing all these voices. And then I was driving through Eastern California or Western Arizona. I can't remember, but I think it was Arizona. It must've been Arizona. I was on some, back road. It wasn't a big, huge freeway or anything, but I was hearing these voices of gray aliens, and I was visually hallucinating. I mean, these extraterrestrials that are visiting Earth, they can exert extreme control over your spirit and being, your sense of self, everything. They can, you know, make you feel like your finger is melting off or something. It really, they
oh,
can
absolutely.
Do well. Yeah,
absolutely. I've actually had situations where they've presented themselves as other humans to me.
Uh-huh.
I've had them totally make me believe I was somewhere else, and then all of a sudden I'm not. I'm
yeah.
where I don't want to be. You
yeah.
know, the thing of it is here is I have another person I know of personally that was classified as schizophrenic. I'm not saying that this is your case. Or anybody else's for that matter. But for her, what
yes.
happened is the doctor misdiagnosed her. She was actually suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Oh, okay.
And they sit there and turned around and diagnosed her with that. Oh, actually, it was schizoaffective disorder. And
okay.
The odd thing is the more I've got to know this person, they're not showing any signs of that.
I'd more or less kind of like to keep my disability sort of on the lowdown.
It's cool. I just want you to understand a lot of abductees, a lot of people that are dealing with this crap, and I'm going to call it that, actually do suffer from post-traumatic stress syndrome. And it's horrible. I mean, it just literally stretches you out, man, where you can't even think straight. And you have a hard time sometimes discerning from reality, because of the weird things that are shown to you all the time during the actual abductions.
Uh-huh.
So it's not not that uncommon.
It's very much off. It happens so often. I mean, I have a good friend. He had some tough times. He saw a lot of dead bodies in Iraq, and spiritually, it's extremely taxing on you when you have to do things that you don't want to do, and you know that biblically, these things are a heresy, and
it's hard on the soul. You're right.
Yes, it is. So I wanted to just share my experiences and as to why I created the Paranormal51.com project.
Cool.
Do you mind if I ask you what you think of the site, or is that a little too much?
From what I've seen of it so far, no, it's not a little too much. I think, for instance, my site's
I've seen your site. Your site is astounding.
Yeah, the reason what I'm doing and what I'm trying to attempt to do is instead of coming at it from a viewpoint of trying to support the website, I'm trying to let everybody just come in as they are, be who they are, and then that way they don't have that fear factor of being judged. That to me is the main thing here when you're dealing with a lot of these UFO contactee and abductee cases.
Yeah.
It's just, that's what needs to happen in the field. We need more people out there that are willing to step up and allow everybody to talk and let the public know this stuff really happens,
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate your call.
Okay, thanks for taking my call. Thanks.
Oh, no problem, guy. Have a good night.
Okay, you the same.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay. Well, what I was going to say with the exopolitics and that stuff also, we're going to start seeing this more and more. A lot of people are going to come forward. You're going to get people that are driven to producing their own websites to put the information out there because they're not as scared as they used to be. And I think that's really a good sign. It's a sign of times, that we're trying to grow as a community of humans here. And that's partially what I was interested in this exopolitics is that's what they're striving here for. They're striving to educate people what's going on, what the potential of full disclosure means for us, and things like that. Now, as far as what this means for abductees and contactees, and this is really the beef of what I wanted to talk about. The significance of everybody accepting who we are and what we actually represent makes our roles as abductees or contactees very important in our culture, if you know what I mean. We're the first ones, as far as they're concerned, to have contact. We're the ones telling the others that we're not alone in the universe, good or bad. It's kind of like we're given, it's like being a reluctant ambassador. We're having to come back and tell everybody, hey, we're not by ourselves anymore. You guys need to step out of this ignorance, this egotism that you carry, that we're by ourselves here. We're the reality of it. We dealt with this already. Here's what we have to say, and here's how to prepare yourself. I don't know on a lot of levels if what the Greys and all these other alien cultures are doing are not in a way pushing us to grow up in an odd manner of speaking, manner of speaking here, because it's kind of like when World War I and World War II came around. I think the human culture on the entire planet overall, we through all the horrors and through all the bad things that happened during those wars, we actually grew up a little. We understand more now our basic propensity for doing bad things to others and how to keep it from happening. It brought that awareness around. And so I don't know that what's going on with this isn't kind of the same thing, but to make us understand that we're not by ourselves and not everything out there is good, that we need to be fully aware not to go out into space when we do start going out and colonizing, that all the aliens are good guys and they're here to help us like E.T., it's not going to be anything like that. Like the movies would want us to think. And of course, I don't think it's going to be as severe as like the movie Alien. I don't think it's, there may be things out there like that, but I very seriously doubt it's going to be so horrendous. But, still, there's a realistic nature to the whole thing that has to be addressed. And right now, as our culture stands, everything's based off of urban legend and urban myth that's been built up over the centuries as far as contact. So, that's why this exopolitical movement is so important, for the abductees and contactees here, because once the public is aware and fully recognizes that this stuff really exists, all of a sudden it's going to be our responsibility to step up and get rid of all these, myths and rumors about, what reality is about it. We know we're dealing with it on a day-to-day basis, or at least what we're experiencing. And it's really important. I think that people that are contactees or abductees start understanding that unless they learn how to control their fear and start taking back their power in their lives, that they're not going to be any better off than, a shell-shocked veteran or anybody else when it comes time to tell your buddies, hey, here's what you need to expect. You're going to have to step up to the plate and be brave. That's what our job is, unfortunately. That's where we've been placed. And it's, like I said, it's reluctant ambassadorship, if you want to call it anything else. We got a call coming in?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
You're good. Go ahead.
All right. Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Oh,
hey.
Hi, how are you? It's GD. So, yeah.
Hey, guy, how's it going?
What you're talking about.
Hey, GDT, do you have a headset or something? You sound like you're in a different part of the room. It's hard to hear you.
No, I've got a headset going. Might be the air conditioner noise in the background. Let me shut it off.
Oh, you're not very close to the mic. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, I'll turn it up.
Why don't you check that, and then we'll put you on hold, and then just in the chat room, let us know when you think you've got it fixed there.
Okay, can you hear me? Nope, I'll hang up. I'll try it again.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks. But, the main thing here is, we have a responsibility when this occurs to step up to the plate and offer all the information we can possibly muster to help the others that know nothing of this experience, prepare them. There's going to be a culture shock here. There's going to be a lot of people that say they're ready. They're absolutely ready. They know they can handle it. But when the reality of this hits, it's going to be different than what they even imagined, or could ever imagine, So I think that's real important that everybody that's involved with this needs to turn around and start helping these people that are in this movement, because number one, and this is something I pointed out to Doug, I've noticed, I went and did a little research, a lot of these people that are backing this movement are not abductees or contactees. The fact of the matter is they're trying to do is get information released from the governments on UFOs, abductions, secret technology, energy devices, and so forth. The point I made to Doug was, well, once you open one of those doors, they've opened all the doors, because all these, the one little door is just going to lead to more and more questions, and the onslaught of that is just going to be incredible. And so for, you know, the abductees and contactees out there, it's important to be ready, because if this does happen, and it seems to be catching on worldwide right now, and this hadn't been very long, I've actually looked at the timeline on it, the Disclosure Project that Stephen Greer had started back in 1993. I remember when he did this. You know, he went to the, what was that, the press club in Washington? Yeah.
National Press Club.
And started it there, right? Well, over the years of him doing lecturing and touring and all, there's been other groups come up, like CSETI and all these other contact groups. But the point here is the actual exopolitical movement has taken hold in only 2 or 3 years and has actually gained a lot of momentum from a lot of people all of a sudden in these different countries. Even like, say, for instance, South America, I noticed the country is actually backing the idea of exopolitics. So is France. So is Great Britain. I mean, and these are some of the major, you know, people out there in government that are pushing for this. And what this is telling me is they know it's time. The United States, for some odd reason, and I have my own theories on this, is not touching it with a 10-foot pole. And I think part of that is because they might have been involved in some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to be
Well, it's
to blame.
A perfect cover. You know, we're working on black ops projects. We want the public to think they're UFOs so that it covers up what we're doing. I mean, it's actually
well,
cover.
Oh, it's perfect, especially if some of them are actually really from other planets and not us. You know, that's even better. You know, that's beautiful. Actually, there's no way to prove it either way then. So, you know, I'm just waiting. There's going to be a day that's going to come around in my lifetime, I believe, that this is going to take hold. All the people that are involved are going to be able to step up and go, hey, it's time.
You know? Well, there was two comments in the chat room as well on paranormal world is slowly getting more public acceptance, and Roel mentioned that damn tired of don't tell the truth game, and I agree. I think that that's the biggest problem, you know, and it's part of it's one of the. One of my 14 traits of human nature, the need for exclusivity or the need for secrets. You know, hey, I know a secret. You know, I'm exclusive. I'm special. And so we have all these secrets floating around, and we need disclosure. We're all entitled to that.
Absolutely.
I go on with that. But
it's much like the Internet started in its birthing cries. You know, it used to be dial-up and bulletin board systems, and back then it was just between colleges and military, and everything was free. Everything was completely free. You could get software from, you know, other people developing it. It was no big deal. And then all of a sudden somebody stepped in and decided that, you know what, we can make money with this. And the moment that happened is the moment you saw the Internet all of a sudden turn into this monster that it's become. You know, now granted, there's a lot of positive things that come from the Internet. You know, we've got a lot of it's almost like a group consciousness going on with the Internet now, which is wonderful. I don't think they understood what they were unleashing. But the other side of that coin is, you know, we've got these people out here trying to make money with it. Well, UFO technology, all this other stuff that the Disclosure Project is really working towards is fighting that very same system. You know, these people want proprietary control over these inventions. They want their money. I mean, that's basically what's driving this, I really do believe. And that's really a hard thing to fight. When you start talking, you know, whether or not you're going to get your check next week and you're used to making billions of dollars, that's just, you know, how are you going to fight that? Well, the cool thing is Stephen Greer and these other guys out there have actually done enough research. They have wonderful legal representation. They know the loopholes, and they've really been working it. That's the reason these other countries have literally just stepped right in with them, right in line, because they know they're on to something. They know that there's a lot more out there going on themselves that probably the United States and probably I'd say Russia have information-wise that they haven't been sharing with the rest of the world. So, you know, it'd be surprising. I would say the next 10 years that we don't start seeing some wonderful things showing up, you know. Probably some horrendous things are going to be known, too, by the same thing. You know, it's kind of like I was telling Doug, you know, at one time they were doing radiation experiments on soldiers to find out what radiation poisoning did. They already knew what radiation poisoning did after Madame Curie and her husband died from it when they discovered radiation. They knew, but they wanted to see in the field how many soldiers, percentage-wise, would drop dead from a nuclear explosion. And I know everybody... If you go look on the internet, you'll find it. There's actually video footage with all these soldiers standing in bunkers, standing up, and off in the distance, about 100, 200 yards out, is a nuclear explosion, and they're looking at it face on with it going off. And these guys did not know what was going on. They were just told to stand there in the middle of that. And, you know, that's just what we know about. There's no telling, you know, with the abduction phenomena and all this other stuff, if they're in bed with, you know, the Greys or whoever doing that also, you know, it's kind of a scary idea, you know. I was sitting there, somebody was talking about my labs not too long ago and all that situation, and I really have a hard time believing our government would be involved on that level of creating false abductions, you know, just for their own purposes, but I don't know. The whole thing's really convoluted. Well, we'll get Doug back. Doug came back. Okay, let's go ahead and take the call.
Okay, go ahead.
Doug? GDT, you there?
Yes, I am. Sorry, I was just trying to fix this computer.
Okay. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Speak real loud.
Okay, I'll turn up the microphone as well, but as you were saying earlier, your site gives a safe place for people to talk, because a lot of the other sites don't. You know, as you know, I've been spent the last 4 or 5 months for the first time looking into all these things to, you know, finally deal with the fear and all the rest of it. And a lot of these sites, they've got people talking. They'll share an experience, and you've got people talking about mental illness and everything else. Well, people will run. You know?
Right. Hey, GDT, could you? Are you wearing a headset with a mic, or are you actually having to speak at a mic?
Hello.
GDT.
Yeah.
Go ahead and ask. Evidently, we're having connection problems. Could you just go ahead and ask the questions in the chat room for us, please?
Sure. Okay, I'll hang up. Thanks.
Thanks, sir.
Okay.
Okay. All right, we're back. But
I've been here the whole freaking time.
Yeah, I know you have.
What, did you go somewhere?
No, it's two different Dougs.
Yeah, I'm just giving you crap, man.
Oh, I know. Anyway, yeah, all this stuff is so convoluted, and I don't know if a lot of it's not because of our own government and them not wanting us to discover really what's going on. You know, for the abductees and contactees, you know what's going on. You know, you have no other choice but to know what's going on and what you're experiencing. The unfortunate problem is you've got your government and your news media, which, may I add, everybody trusts them regardless of what they tell you. They trust them like they do their doctors. If they tell them it's so, they believe it and they walk on. You know, they don't even question what they're hearing. You know, it must be because we were told that. And, you know, you would think after the 50s and 60s and all the horrible wars we've been through and all the crap our government's done to us, that people would be more apt to question a lot of things. I mean, you know, my God, the kids nowadays don't even believe we've been to the moon. You know, funny that, you know. Yeah, we have. Yeah, I know. But the thing of it is I remember it like it was yesterday because I'm old enough, and the sad part of it is this next generation, knows not to trust the government. You know, I don't know why it's taken so long for that to kick in. It should have been that way right after Vietnam, or before that, actually. But, you know, people should have been paying attention a long time ago that we're being misled on a lot of different levels. I'm not saying the government's bad. They're there to serve a purpose, and they do a good job at a lot of things. But when it comes to black ops and all this other stuff, you're talking about people that I wouldn't trust them with my life. You know, there's no way. Yeah, they're self-serving entities in themselves. You know, they're not worried about anybody but their own. You know,
whatever they're at. Government or the Grays?
The Grays and Black Op projects. You know, I was talking about my labs earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean they're self-serving. They have no other reason to do what they do other than for their own jollies, I guess would be the best way to put it. Did GDT ask anything in the chat room yet?
Yeah, he makes a comment. Just commenting on the need for a website that is safe for abductees to talk. Most people who do not believe and think we are suffering mental disorders, so it scares away true experiencers who suffer all by themselves with nowhere to turn.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I don't allow debunkers on my site either. That's one thing I won't allow. You know, that's perception's a funny thing. We deal with, you know, Paranexus Association. We deal with psychics and all genre of people and stuff, and everybody has a different sense of perception and what they're actually seeing in their mind's eye. And, you know, the more I've looked into this, the abduction and contactee phenomena seems to be operating on the same level. You know, it's based off your belief system. It's based off of a lot of different things that make up who you are. I can't sit and tell somebody that they're not experiencing an actual abduction, especially, you know, when they're talking about the scarring on their body or their cuts or all this other stuff that are significantly common between all the abduction cases. You know, even though they may say a clown walked into the room and it was a doctor that was dressed like a clown and wanted to, you know, do whatever. You know, as outlandish as that sounds, that's what they were perceiving when it happened. But the end result is they had something physical happen to them. They were scared out of their mind. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, somebody violated their space, you know. And it's just, there's a lot of commonalities in abductions and ufology and hauntings. And the main one that I've talked to Doug about this many times before is confusion and fear factor seem to all play a role in all of this. And it's just really amazing that more researchers haven't noticed this. I know Jacques Vallée actually broached this subject a couple of times talking about the, how do you coin that term? The energy.
Tricksters.
Yeah, the tricksters. Yeah, the tricksters. You know, it's not that you ever actually get any good information on who they are, but they all seem to have the same intent. They're constantly trying to confuse and scare people. And I'm really, you know, that to me alone points to there's some entity out there causing a lot of problems for a lot of people.
Yeah, so. We've talked about that, the fear and the confusion. It seems to boil down to that in one way or another. Across all fields of anomalous research.
Yeah. Hey, and looks like I got an email in not too long ago, Doug, from one of our listeners. Let's see. This is from Peter. He asks, please kindly ask Mike what can be done to gather physical evidence, visual also, from alien abductions. What has been tried in the past, what is being done now, and what are the ideas for the future work? Well, I've got several things I can talk about here. One thing, and I always remember this, is always anytime you get wounds on your body that you know good and well are not supposed to be there, any bruising wounds, anything out of place, you know, take pictures of it and record the date and time. You know, that way at least if it does get well and disappears, you still have the, you know, evidence of it, which a lot of abductees, if they've ever had scoop marks, those don't go away. But, you know, if possible, you know, you could try recording audio and video. I know a lot of people have tried this in the past, and the problem that you have with audio and video is for some reason the actual abductee or the whoever is dealing with this gets up. They're still in a stupor or sleep, and you can actually see them on camera getting up and shutting the equipment off before the abduction incident. And there's also been cases where they've actually filmed where the cameras just shut down themselves. You know, medical examination of, you know, your potential scoop marks, bruising, other physiological evidence that could be verified by a friendly doctor. And what I mean by friendly doctor is I mean one that won't ask too many questions, and if the subject does come up, they're not going to send you to a psychologist. You know, they're going to say, okay, well, and they're there to record it, you know, as far as them being a doctor, recording the time that it happened and saying, verifying that, yes, those are, you know, this kind of wound, and it's not just superficial, you know. And like, for instance, right now I'm working with one doctor as far as a doctor-client relationship, and I'm hoping to be able to start getting x-rays for myself, which is going to really help speak volumes to what I've been talking about, hopefully.
What do you hope to find?
There's a couple places on my body I want to check, and I can actually feel the objects below the skin, and they've been there forever. You know, this is not like, you know, usually when you have foreign objects under the skin, you'll get infections, you'll get calloused areas, all kinds of, you know, your skin reacts and tries to separate it from the body. Well, these aren't like that, and they're about the size of a rice grain, you know. And I want to do x-rays first, and once I get that done and establish that they're really there, then I'm going to move on and get the EMF detector out and start working with that, hopefully find a frequency meter and start checking for that also to see if there's any radio transmission. You know, that's one of the things they've just, by the way, have discovered. Roger Lear has been doing some work in this field as far as implants, that they do transmit two different radio frequency, one in the megahertz and one in the gigahertz range. They do an isotopic ratio on the actual implant itself, you know, checking the elements in it, and find out that all these implants, for some reason, are not from Earth. The isotopic ratios are different. They're off planet, so which would actually suggest that they're being manufactured off of Earth somewhere. I can tell you another thing it'd be good for a person to do if you're really trying to find out what's going on, you know, keeping logs to confirm when things happen. You know, what that does is it's going to provide a history for you to look back on, and you might actually start seeing patterns in the event. And you can actually tell if it's you just dreaming by that happening, I would say, or is it actually, you know, actual abduction events? Because there's going to be a difference, you know. Pattern dreams, if I'm not mistaken, do run in patterns where abductions do not. You know, they're pretty much random. There have been attempts at capturing footprints with like baby powder on hard surfaces. You know, where you sprinkle out baby powder. That way, if they walk through it, they'll leave a, you know, actual. There's going to be footsteps actually in the baby powder. And another case I was reading about, they used heavy tinfoil under light rugs around the bed itself to capture the impressions of the footprints. You know, that's one thing. Another thing I like to mention, Dr. Lear also brought to light, a lot of people didn't know this, that you can get a black light. This is most abductions. This isn't true for all abductions. But a black light will actually show a fluorescent residue. It's on the abductee, or, you know, in the room or the environment the abductee was in, that the aliens left behind. And that's really fascinating. I'm not too sure what that's all about yet. I don't know if that's just a residual effect, you know, from the equipment they're using to come in and leave again. There's another thing, you know, they have they're starting to find out that there's magnetic anomalies that also go along with abductions, you know, things that aren't usually magnetizable, you know, like for instance, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen the old classroom experiment. You can take a piece of iron and strike it with a hammer and it'll magnetize.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing is you're lining the atoms up, you know, pole to pole, and you get a magnet. Well, plastics, wood, aluminum, things like this don't normally magnetize under any circumstances. And the odd thing is there's been a case just recently that they worked, that they went through the house and things like wooden spoons were magnetic. There were plastic, you know, plastic containers being magnetic. The countertop was magnetic. I mean, it's just the whole house literally had been inundated with some real high energy magnetic field during the abduction and had magnetized a lot of things that weren't supposed to be, you know, be able to be magnetic at all. But it's pretty interesting, a lot of stuff they're working with.
Here's a question in the chat room from After Dark Radio. How do they know implants are off-planet? They have something to compare it to?
Yes, they do. As a matter of fact, from what I was reading on Roger Lear, what they're comparing it to is meteor samples that they've obtained. The isotopic ratios were matching the actual meteor samples that they've collected over the years and not matching any minerals on the planet's surface.
Okay. And Diane's giving some good advice as well on scoot marks and things. Take a sterile swab of the area. If you do find a scoop mark and put it in a sterile container, you know, treat it like a forensic.
Oh, absolutely.
Forensic scene.
That's right. That's actually very good advice. Let's see here. What else? Some of the new ideas. Now, some ideas I've come up with, and I've talked to Doug about this behind the scenes a little bit. But one of them would be a passive EMF detection grid. What I'm saying here is, I don't know if you've seen these people running around with EMF meters. Well, instead of having that, I would think one of the things, especially for abductees and people that are dealing with this stuff, that would actually maybe yield some answers as to what's going on in the environment before this happens, is you have a grid of these laid out that run back to a computer. And it actually gives you a foot-to-foot analysis of the magnetic field in the entire room of the abductee. Now, this is saying if they don't turn the power off, but you'd at least be able to record the onset of something happening. You could actually see the frequencies of stuff and what was really happening here. That's one thing I know they don't have on the market. The other thing I think would be really great is full-spectrum cameras that can record over 60 frames per second, you know, something like 120 to 240 frames per second if possible. You know, and I realize this is high-dollar equipment, but, you know, we're dealing with something that's outside of normal human perception. So what we're going to have to do is start developing equipment that's outside of the norm of what we consider useful. You know, but you know, when all, you know, all these ideas, all these things that are going on are really great. But when it comes down to it, I think, you know, the abductees themselves are going to have to train themselves not to let the fear overtake them when this stuff's going on, and be an objective observer, because regardless what's going on, these guys seem to be able to shut down all surveillance equipment. Everything seems to be getting turned off. You know, there's no way to actually get good data on what they're doing to be able to combat it. So really, the only true device we have is the abductee himself, as far as being an observer and paying attention to what's going on around them and bringing that information back. You know, maybe that in itself would provide us clues of how to get, you know, at least control the situation to where they cannot just come in and take you willy-nilly, you know. Now, I myself have discovered that, and I'm not saying that it's stopped it, but as far to my knowledge, as far as I'm concerned, I have not experienced anything outlandish lately, and it's mainly because I've stopped being scared of it. I've taken you know, a whole new attitude towards it. You know, I'm looking at it now kind of going, you know what? Okay, fine. You're coming to get me, right? Well, you know what? I'm tired of having a bully push me around. So no matter how many times my nose gets bloodied by the bully, I'm going to still stand up. And at the end of the day, I'm going to stand up again when you come back. I don't care anymore. I don't care that you're trying to scare me. You know, that's the important part here. You cannot be able to observe what's happening to you until you get rid of that fear and your anger goes up. And you know, you've got to have that attitude when this stuff happens, because if you don't, you're just pretty much giving up, you know, that, which pretty much makes you, you know, you all of a sudden you're letting yourself be the victim. You know, for me, I think it's just a lot more important not to, you know, to give in and be a victim as much as, you know, at least give resistance, you know, of some sort, some fashion, or whatever you can do. Because if you don't, you know, there's a part of yourself that you lose every time you allow yourself to become a victim. And it just takes you down a bad, bad path, and you don't want that. That's how you lose control of your normal everyday life also in dealing with these abductions. You know, all of a sudden you become dysfunctional. You can't even be around normal human beings anymore. So, you know, that's what's important here. Get angry about this. You know, don't sit there and just be passive and cry when this stuff starts happening. You know, and to push it even further past the anger is stay calm and observe what's going on and share with the others so we can maybe find an answer to this. You know, it's an incredible situation as it is, but the fact of the matter is, until everybody starts comparing notes, we're not going to solve this. This, you know, we might as well be fish and have sharks swimming around and just picking us out. You know, okay, who's next on the list for lunch? You know, until we group together and start working as a team, nothing's going to come of this at all, in my opinion. You know, so everybody, you know, it has to be a concerted effort. You know, it's the same thing as the Disclosure Project and all these other people are doing. They have grouped together. They have become a team. That's why they're having things happen. That's why they're getting somewhere with what they're doing. And I would suggest the same for abductees and contactees. You really want this stuff to stop? You really want to have some answers? Well, you have to take action for yourself before anything will happen.
Amen. So for any people that are listening to this program, perhaps for the first time, that feel that they might be an abductee, what would you recommend they do?
Well, there's several routes. I've got a website, www.alienabductee.org. You can go there. You can express your thoughts. You can share your stories. You can console in other people. We have people on the site all the time. Everybody's got some odd schedules. You know, they're from around the world. I'm on there as much as I possibly can between my day job and everything else I'm trying to do at the same time. There's articles on there to read. But like I said, the most important thing, you know, if you think you're dealing with this, is go do the research. You know, my site's it's pretty informational. You know, you start reading accounts of other people and what they're dealing with, and you start realizing you're not by yourself. Well, you know, that right there alone, it should make you realize, you know, that you're not necessarily just dreaming this. You know, there's good chance that you don't have any psychological problems. You know, you need to investigate it. You know, that's one thing that I will always tell everybody that thinks they're an abductee. Go do the research. Go make sure you know before you go down that path. Because once you start down this path, it's pretty damn scary. But the end result is you actually have peace of mind, and it's just hard getting there. You know, it's like anything else in life. Anything that's worth having is a struggle, and you've got to do it to get there. So.
And so, what they go to your site, they register, they read some of the comments, and then they want to talk to somebody. Who can they talk to?
Well, you can either email me. I've got my email address up there. You can email me at the admin@paranexus.org or admin@alienabductee.org, mjones@paranexus.org. You can also, if you catch us on in the chat room, you can talk to us there. I do have live video chat, but right now I can only handle three people at a time. thing it is, we'd have to actually schedule a time to talk, you know, and you could do that through email or however.
So the point is that they could actually talk with you live, like on Skype or
yes, absolutely.
Something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually got my Skype number posted on the website also if they want to call me and just need somebody to talk to. And it doesn't matter what time of day or night. If I'm not here, that means I'm at work. You know, I'm willing to take any calls. It doesn't matter who you are. And, you know, don't think that what's happening to you is outlandish and sounds crazy because you're not the first, I assure you. You know, there's you'd be surprised. You'd really be surprised how many people out there are dealing with this on a daily basis, and they keep thinking to themselves they've got to go see a doctor because they're crazy, and that's not the truth.
And you hold everything confidential.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one thing I won't share. Like, you know, we've got several people on the site. I absolutely, you know, there's no way that I'll ever release information to anybody without their explicit. And they actually have to ask me to release it. I'm not going to approach them. So.
Well, very good. So if you feel like you might be an abductee or know somebody who is, go visit Mike's site, alienabductee.org. If you need somebody to talk to, Mike's there. If you are looking for, you know, some research, we do that also with Paranexus. We can do regressions if that's what you want. If you're in the Florida area, near me, that's where I'm at. And, you know, we're looking for these kinds of things to do some research and also to help out. So there's a number of sources for coaching, for information, for a listening ear. And, again, it's all held in the strictest of confidence.
And also, I want to make one main thing clear here. Everything's free. I will not nor ever will charge anybody to help them out of this situation because it's bad. You know, there's no reason to ever ask money to help anybody with this. I mean, you know, it just strikes me odd. There's not more people out there attempting to help. You know, they're busy trying to, I guess, sell their books or whatever, but, you know, I'm not about that.
Well, that's good. So we're down to about a minute left here. Just before Mike makes his closing comments, I just want to let everybody know that next week we'll be welcoming psychic lawyer Mark Anthony to the program. We're going to talk about psychic perspective, what are hauntings, and what do the entities want. Should be an interesting program, and he is also going to do some many psychic readings for listeners on the air, too. So please join us next week, and, of course, everybody who's listening to this now realizes that our new time is 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern time.
All right.
Anything you want to add in closing, Mike?
Yes, just, you know, if you're just curious and interested, the website is alienabductee.org. If you're just wanting to talk to me, that's fine. Just shoot me an email or chat me or however you want to get a hold of me. I'm here. Also, like Doug said, Paranexus Organization's there to help people. So, you know, either contact me or contact our organization. We're here to help.
We really appreciate everybody taking the time to listen to us tonight. We appreciate those who listen to us every week. We really do appreciate the support and look forward to seeing you next week. Mike, thanks for a great show. We look forward to having you back for the next show.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Month. All right, everybody. Have a great night, and we'll see you next week. Take care. Good night.
Take care, guys.
Paranexus Universe.